Let's ask the Lord to bless this message, okay? We'll bow our heads and just ask Him to bless us. Father, we just thank You so much. We thank You so much that You sent Your Son to die for us, Lord. We thank You so much that Jesus Christ is coming back at any moment. Oh, we praise You. We glorify You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You that we have You for our Lord and Savior. We pray You will bless this word to our hearts. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I had one message, and then I decided it wasn't what I needed to be talking about. So I went home just about supper time, and I could tell you what this sermon is, but you know what? It is a leftover. You ever eat leftovers? Well, it means I preached it before, but I went home and I didn't have time to produce some great thing. I had worked on something else. So we're going to talk about the imminent signs of the Son of God's coming, what He's going to get ready to do. He's getting ready to come. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you, the more I watch the news and just hear things happening, goodness sakes. Are you all awake? I mean, yes. You really hear this? Because I'm telling you, the United States is a mess. Yes. It's got more problems, more storms, more tornadoes, more everything that we can think of. It seems like it's happening now in just abundance. Yes. Just keeps on going. Crime is horrible. A lot of churches, I know churches that lock the doors and have them locked while service is going on because they don't want people to walk in, you know? It's a terrible situation we're in. Well, why? Why are we in these kind of things? Because it's the end time. It's the end time. It's about time for Jesus Christ to come. And you know, before He comes, the Antichrist is going to make a treaty with the nations in Europe. Israel is one of them. And as we see our president and others go over there and they're just having all this wonderful conversations in NATO and they're getting other people to join them and all this, these are signs to us that Jesus Christ is going to come. This is what it's working up to, the 7 years of tribulation, that the Antichrist will be in charge. First, he won't say he's Antichrist. You know that. You've heard your pastors and people to teach that. You know, he's going to say, I'm your best friend. I'm going to help you, Israel. I'm going to help you. You know, Israel gets persecuted all the time. Just bombed and different things coming on all the time. Every day in the news, you hear about something else. So, what does that mean to us? I hope it means to you what I feel it means to me. I know Jesus is going to come. And he's going to come a little bit before that time that old Antichrist starts manifesting himself. Jesus Christ is going to come and back and take away his people that are watching and waiting for him. He's longing for his bride to come, and it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. So right now we just see a lot of signs. You know, we have signs in the Grace and Glory. We have a section that's called the Signs of the Time. I believe it's still called that. Anyway, in the Old Testament, the word signs that you see there means a coming signal. So when we see the sign, what does it signal to us? What does it mean to us? We read the news, we read the papers. Does it do anything for us? Or does it discourage us? Say, oh, there they go again. They bombed so-and-so. Or they have torn up the city, so they've killed policemen this week, you know. But what we need to be thinking about is this means that the times, signs of the times are happening before our eyes and is coming soon. Hallelujah. It means in the Greek or the Hebrew, even the Old Testament, it means as a flag, as a beacon, as a monument, as evidence, as a token. When the Lord starts waving the signs at us, what's he trying to say? Is he... He's saying, I'm coming. He wants us to know that and for us then to be ready. That's the whole thing. We need to be ready for that. Are we seeing these signs? Do you see them? Do you see them? Do you like to listen to the news? I know people say, I never listen to the news. I don't like news. Well, if you listen to the news, you find interesting things that actually do represent these signs that we're talking about that are coming about. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 3, Jesus was speaking there, and he said that Israel could not read the signs showing them the weather to come. He was signifying to them that there's going to be signs in the heavens. But he says Israel can't even tell the signs in the sky. I'm like that. I don't see what's going to happen a lot. But my husband now did. Boy, he kept track of everything like that. Praise the Lord. But he said there, but can you not discern the signs of the times? He says, you can't understand the signs in the sky, but how about the signs of the time? What does that mean? What's going on? What's going on out there that we hear of in the news all the time? We don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be scared, because we know the Lord is on our side, and we are going to watch and pray and seek and have faith that God's going to watch over us and have us ready when he comes again. Isaiah 21:6 says this, thus saith the Lord, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm a watchman that is declaring what I see. The coming of Jesus is at hand. He's going to come at any moment. I'll be so happy if he would right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On down in Isaiah 21, the question is asked of the watchman. I like to study that about the watchman. It says they asked the watchman, you know, in those days, the watchman would go up and down the streets and watching to make sure everything was okay in the village or whatever they were guarding. And even in times, early history times in the United States and in over in Europe, they did the same thing. They had these watchmen. So who are these watchmen that the Lord is speaking of there? It says that the watchman said, the morning cometh, the morning cometh. They would announce, because they didn't have a lot of clocks and things, so they would announce the time of night. Is there anybody around that announces the time of, we believe, the soon coming of Christ? Sure. We have pastors, teachers. Praise the Lord. We're so gifted with people that know the Word of God, aren't we? I'm thankful for the way that the Lord has blessed me with good teachers, good people that really knew the Word and were a blessing to me. I was in Bible school when Sister Bodie was teaching, and she taught prophecy, and it was very, very good. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed it so much. But these watchmen, it says in verse 12, they say, the morning cometh, the morning cometh. Don't be scared of the dark. The dark is going on right now, but praise the Lord. The morning is coming any time. We're going to be raptured from this place if we're ready to go. Hallelujah. But he says, after he says that the morning cometh, he says, also the night. What does that mean? He says, the morning's going to come, but also the night. That's the tribulation. The tribulation of time that's coming on this earth. 7 years of tribulation that has never happened in any time in the earth's time that we have had this earth. It's an amazing thing to think of how bad that's going to be. So as surely as we know that Jesus Christ is coming again, do you know he's coming again? Amen. Everybody agree? We're seeking for the Lord's coming. Just as sure as that, there's going to be people watching and waiting for him to come. Watching and waiting. Waiting's, I think, the harder part. We get impatient. We go through a trial and we think, oh, I can't stand this. I just can't stand this. The interesting thing is that God's looking down and he says, yes, with my help you can, doesn't he? And he gets us through it. So, but the dark days of the tribulation are going to come on this world for sure. Now, so I was looking through the Bible, just looking. I like to look words, work words. There's a word in the Old Testament that's called pestilence. Pestilence. And pestilence was always speaking about terrible judgment that would come upon things. And 47 times in the Old Testament, the word pestilence is used. And it speaks, you know, Israel went through a lot. There were, you can just read all those. You know, most of you read them all in the Old Testament about the different trials they had with different things that God would allow. There was lots of pestilence going on. We might turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And we're going to be reading verse 49. Chapter 78, Psalm 78. He casts upon them the fierceness of his anger. Pardon me, that's the wrong chapter. 79:8 was the wrong one. That was true, though. Okay, verse 8. Oh, remember not again us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge us from our sins. That isn't right either. I'm sorry. You know, I'm getting older, you guys. You know that. Okay. Okay. I've got the chapter right now. Okay. 78. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. We're going to do it. If I can find my situation here now. Okay, starting with verse 49. He casts upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave them their life over to the pestilence. This is one of the places where it speaks of Israel's disobedience to God until he finally just sent a terrible, terrible trial their way to make them wake up. I think that's a lot what's happening in the world today, is God is trying to warn people. And we see so much of it taking place, as we've already mentioned tonight. So we'll go on. Let's go on to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 3. He says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. See, there it is again. Praise the Lord. How did the Lord do that for us? He died on the cross for us. And he saves us from the pestilence that's going to come on this earth. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Now going on down, surely in verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. There it is again. A pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. When the tribulation comes on, the first part will kind of be a time of a little bit more peaceful. But by the time that Antichrist is revealed, right there before the middle of the 7 years, things are going to get really, really bad. And there will be believers here that are enduring to the end, as the scripture says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, referring to those that will not be in the rapture, they will not be in the bride of Christ, they will be here on the earth that have been born again, many of them during the tribulation time. And so God will be with them and guard them and help them. And that's good. But I want to go before that, don't you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The word pestilence means a plague. And we know that God has used plagues many times to wake people up, to try to get them stirred. And sometimes it takes a long, long time, it seems like. In another place that I looked, it said it is a disease of the devil. But God uses it to correct the lives of people. And that's true. We've had a lot of sickness in my married life. As most of you know, my husband passed away, and after suffering all kinds of things, had so many transplants and different kinds of transplants and everything. And it was quite a trial. Disease is a hard trial. But God uses that to help us to overcome, to draw on his strength, you know. And it was a trial at times. But God really was there all the time and helped me, helped him, and praise the Lord. He's happy up there with the Lord. When he was dying in up in Omaha in the hospital, he could not utter any known word that you would ever think, and it was a word even. But for about 30 days, all he said was one, just like, I have to tell you kind of what it sounds like just to understand. Just, you know, go into the room with him, and there he is laying there, kind of half unconscious, and maybe just saying the word hit. I'll just say the word hit. Hit, 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 hit. Over and over and over and over for hours. One word. Really a trial. Hard trial for me to go in there and sit there. But God, the day that I came back to the room, it had been 30 days up there in Omaha, and came into the room, and very clearly, with a clear voice, he said, "Anita, come over here. I have something to tell you." And I went over there, and he told me how much he loved me, and he told me some other things, and he said, "I'm going to go home to be with the Lord." And he said, "I don't want any more of this exercise they're doing, trying to find," they were using him as a guinea pig, you know, to find out more stuff. And so they said, "I just want to go." He said, "Tell him I'm through here. I want to go home." So I did. I told him. The nurse made fun of me. But the doctor came, and he said, "That's fine." And so by that afternoon, he was shipped to up here to Topeka to Midland Hospice. And that was Friday, and he passed away early Sunday morning. Monday morning. And he was so peaceful after he got out of that place. And he never did that jabbering anymore. That was something that was his mind and everything was just out of. Because he was a very educated man. That was not a usual thing, but it just about drove me nuts, to tell you the truth. God allows those things, though, to happen in our life, you know. They're pestilences, for sure. Praise the Lord. In Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, it speaks about how God is a jealous God. He desired for Israel, let's just turn there, Ezekiel 38. He desired for Israel, you know, to really be something and yielding to God. And, of course, the 10 tribes went away and were idolaters and just a mess. And then the 2 tribes left, did the same thing. And so God had to bring judgment on them. And in this 38th chapter of Ezekiel, he's telling of that judgment. And we're going to begin reading with verse 19. It says, "For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and in the mountains shall be thrown down throughout all the mountains of the Lord. Every man's, thrown down, and the steep place shall fall, and every fall shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground," so forth. Verse 22, "I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood." You know, we see Israel right now going through a lot of times, there are signs of the time, really. God is showing his wrath that they, you know, I think you probably keep up with some of Israel, but you'd be amazed if you don't know what goes on over there. You know, they have this gay pride thing that goes right down through Jerusalem, and people come from all over the world to celebrate the gay pride. Supposed to be God's people, and they act that way. And there's a little group of, you know, the ones that are the priests and the different things like that, but they're a very minor number compared to the big amount of people that just are going crazy, fleshly things. But God is allowing a judgment to come on them, isn't he? They keep getting these things being shot at them and everything. But in verse 21, it says there, I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. I will plead against him with pestilence and blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and an overflow rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. It's coming. The tribulation is going to be coming, and it is certainly going to happen. Praise the Lord that we have the opportunity for you and I to be translated out of this world. I've had a lot of sorrows, a lot of troubles in my life, in my lifetime, but I'm telling you what, God's grace is sufficient. He does help us, and we need to just lean on him as hard as we can. Don't be overtaken by the trials that you go through and that I go through. Walk on, walk on, walk in the light. Just be saturated with the Word of God, and he will help you get through things that you think you cannot do. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 24. I'll probably cut this on short here, but Matthew 24. I just want us to, again, just to think about how God has this all in his plan. You know, it's Old and New Testament, just a big plan of God that he's going to deal with this world. He's going to set things right. And we're going to be, if we're yielding to God and ready to go, we're going to be up there ruling with him. We're going to be up there with him. Most of us know about the 24th chapter of Matthew. If you haven't read it all the way through, read it. Jesus was talking to them there at the temple. The disciples were with him, and he, before he went to be crucified, and they asked him some questions, and he started telling them exactly what would happen when Israel was judged. And that's what this chapter is about. In verse 7, it tells us the nation in this tribulation time that, well, let's go back to verse 5. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear the of wars and rumors of wars. You see that you be not troubled. That word means frightened in the original. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And that's what we're experiencing right now. Right now, you know, the United States has really gotten into a position of pretty horrible stuff where Russia is really acting up and hates us and would do anything to us. And then we got China over there, and they're threatening to bomb Formosa. And so all of these things are coming to pass, as Jesus said they would in the end. And I really believe these are all signs for us to be ready for the coming of Jesus at any time. Verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. This is especially talking of Israel and many other Christians on the world that will be terribly persecuted because they're not ready for the coming of Jesus, and they'll have to be here for a while longer. But you can read of those in the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. So that first part of the 7 years of tribulation will be peaceful, but then it will become very, very, very hard and very bad. And it'll be a horrible thing to be in. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians, and I'll probably make this the end. I'm kind of long-winded, so you guys... I can be. The people that are from this meeting aren't supposed to answer. Okay. Okay. This is an important verse for us right here in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of the Lord Jesus, when it says the day of Christ, speaks of the time that he's going to reign. It's the Lord's day when he reigns. And so he warns us to not be troubled. And this word in the Greek means unsettled and alarmed. So we have God, we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, many of us do. We don't need to be fearful. We need to be steadfast in believing, steadfast, and help those that are in trouble. There's many who are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Some people teach that the day of the Lord had already come, but notice it says at hand. It's at hand. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen just immediately. It means that it's now time that it will happen. It's going to happen. And of course, that is true right now, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So then verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there become a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now when he's talking about the falling away, it means that there'll be a lot of discouragement about God. There'll be many, many times that people are just not even acting like we're a Christian nation anymore. There's terrible things going on in this United States and in this world. You notice that on the news and everything? It's just like we're not even Christian belief anymore. Many churches are closed, even in up in Topeka. Close. There's just churches that have been closed. There's nobody going there. And some of the churches, I'm always amazed because it's kind of weird to me, but somebody bought one of the churches, made a cafe out of it. And just, it was a kind of a big church, you know, with a big tower and everything, and they made a cafe out of it. But the Lord's coming is so near, and there has been a falling away of people that once loved the Lord and longed for his coming. They're not so concerned anymore. They're just trying to live their life and make their life happy and all of that. But we're always going to have trials, is what the Bible says. And so we need to lay hold of the Word of God and overcome. And he gives us the grace to do it, too. God is so faithful. Oh, I could tell you, my daughter keeps saying, Mom, you need to write your story. You need to write all your story down. But the life that I've had since I was a small child, when my parents, my dad, who was a grace minister, broke up with my mother and went off with another woman, that was the beginning of God's dealings with me, really, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I was telling somebody about that. But, you know, he's been so faithful to me all of my married life. My husband was so sick all the time. There were times when he was in the pulpit preaching when he would nod at me and he would have to leave to go because he had really bad problems with his bowel, and I would have to finish his sermon. So, you know, it's kind of hard. But praise the Lord. God blessed me. He's been with me. He's kept me all through different kinds of situations, and I know how faithful he is. And I want to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. That is, to me, would be just so, so wonderful. Just to see Jesus. Oh, my goodness. What it's going to be like. We can't even imagine, can we? We just can't even imagine how glorious it's going to be to see Jesus face to face. hear his voice. Come up here. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, what do we have to do that? We've got to yield ourselves to God. We've got to let the Lord work in our life and not get down at the trials. We're going to have trials. We'd like not to, but we do. Yes, we do. And things that you think, oh, that'll never happen to me. First thing you know, there it is. On my trip to New Mexico this recently, because my brother, older brother-in-law died, I got to stop in Tucumcari, New Mexico, to see my child's grave. Had a little boy die of muscular dystrophy there. It was hard, but God allowed it. And I go there to that grave and I think, I wonder if we could dig him up and take him to Kansas and, you know, put him by his dad back there. That thought came to my mind. But I'm just telling you, you know, we go through things and we just think, oh, I can't stand that. I just can't stand that. Well, God hasn't asked you to stand it. He's asked you to lean on him and let him be your helper. And he's so faithful. He's so faithful. I remember my little girl who's 63 now, she's a precious child, she's a precious woman. She folded her little arm inside of my arm when we were in the back of the car. My sister was there and she wanted to go back out to the grave, and I was just so down in that back seat. You know, the baby had died, and here my little girl slips her arm in here. She was about 2 1/2, and she looked up at me. And I could tell from her face what she was saying. Mommy, you still have me. It was just so precious. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth all the trials and the tests that you go through, because God's going to let you have trials. That's what causes you to grow. But you learn to put your trust in God and just trust him and believe him and keep on going and walking with God. And that's what the most important thing is. He's going to come. This life is going to be over. Praise the Lord.